Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Is the Savage Nation. It is Open Mic to Mic Friday. Let's tell you what's going on in the world here. It's pretty shocking to tell you that the dollar is plunging, Obama is cowering, Pelosi is hiding, and you have an illegal immigrant gang in Los Angeles that was targeting to kill black people, and yet the media focuses on the evils of conservatives. You have racist gangs in Los Angeles targeting to kill blacks, and the radical left in this country would rather see the conservative movement destroyed than the gangs themselves. The insanity of the left is at a fever pitch today. The insanity of the progressive movement has never been at a greater level, nor has it ever threatened America more greatly than it does today. The progressive movement today is out of control. It is attacking everything good, everything true, everything righteous, everything God-given. The progressive movement has given us the radical president, Obama. They think, therefore, that America is now ready for radical actions. What they don't understand is that America wants nothing to do with radicalism, neither on the left or on the right. How much further do I have to, as an example, tell you than the CIA controversy with Pelosi? She tried to tear down our premier anti-terrorist agency, the CIA, and now she won't even talk about what she said. If she has nothing more to say, then what does that mean, that she's guilty or they're guilty? Now, if somebody in the CIA lied, they should be prosecuted. But if she is lying, she should be dismissed as Speaker of the House. Everybody knows that. And yet the progressives would rather see our number one agency to protect us from radical Islamic murderers destroyed, then their movement stopped. And that is why we are in danger. When people are suicidal, as the progressives are, when they lead suicidal lifestyles, as they do, they want to destroy not only themselves, but everything around them, including their nation. And that leads us to New York City. The New York Police Department has a stupendous victory. They set up four suspects who wanted to blow up synagogues and kill Jews. They wanted to commit jihad. They're radical. They're Muslim. They were radicalized in prison. Major league story, big victory for the NYPD. It has been buried by the vermin in the media. The vermin in the media would rather not talk about it because they would rather talk about how evil Dick Cheney is than how evil is the radical Islamists amongst us. Now, the arrest of the radical Muslims in New York by the NYPD shows us something else. Shows us how lax the Department of Homeland Security is and how worthless they are. The Department of Homeland Security, so far as we know, had nothing to do with the bust of these four suspects in the terrorist bombing plot. Instead, on the Janet Napolitano, the Department of Homeland Security was told that they were going to focus on America's biggest threat, which was global warming. Instead, the Department of Homeland Security was focused on returning Army veterans, the people opposed to abortion, maybe even talk show hosts. They were being looked at by Department of Homeland Security instead of radical Muslims who were radicalized in federal prisons across America. Once again, we have seen that Janet Napolitano of Homeland Security is either incompetent or worse. She failed us once again. Homeland Security failed us once again. But this is a great victory for the NYPD and the FBI. They saved hundreds of lives. But again, the biggest story here is this. Do you know where these four radical Muslims lived? In upstate New York. Do you remember several years ago on the Savage Nation we talked about Islamburgs around America? Islambergs around America that were training people in the use of weaponry? Do you remember how that was swept under the rug and how we were laughed at? Why doesn't the FBI look into the community where these four radical Muslims were living? And why don't they look into the mosque where they were praying? And why don't they look a little further and not worry about people saying that they're racially profiling, is what I would like to say. Once again, Big Sis has failed us big time. Country is in very, very dangerous shape right now. The dollar is plunging. We might lose, the USA might lose its AAA rating. And yet the progressives, so-called, who are really communists, would like to see America destroyed once and for all. They'd like to see Cheney in jail. They would like to see Bush in jail. They would like to see the lawyers who authorized interrogation methods that saved lives in America put in jail. This is a dangerous time, ladies and gentlemen, and I know it very personally. I want you to know that a terrible injustice has been done in this country. I, Michael Savage, has been banned from Britain by the Home Secretary, Jackie Smith. She has linked me, America's most beloved radio talk show host with 10 million listeners. She has linked my name alongside Russian skinheads in prison for murdering 10 immigrants and recording it. She has linked my name with a Hamas murderer who executed two Jewish parents and then bashed in the head of their four-year-old daughter with a rifle butt. What kind of country has Britain become? Isn't free speech a value that all Western nations must preserve at all costs? Yet it is precisely because of Michael Savage's freedom of speech that I have been targeted by the socialist government of England. And I want you to remember, I, Michael Savage, was awarded the Freedom of Speech Award by the Talkers Magazine, the radio industry's premier publication, in 2007. That's right, I won the Freedom of Speech Award in 2007. And contrary to the accusations of the Home Secretary of England, none of my words have ever led to violence. I have repeatedly called for the lawful enforcement of America's borders, language, and culture. I have never advocated violence, or I would not have lasted a radio for 15 minutes, let alone all these 15 years. Let me repeat that. I do not advocate violence, and I never have. Had I done so, I would have been thrown off the air a long time ago. I want you to please act swiftly to help correct this grave injustice. Americans cannot stand by as foreign governments attack our basic rights. Regardless of your political orientation, we all know that freedom of speech must be protected to ensure the future of our democracy. My freedom has been denied. My very life may now be in danger because of this McCarthy-like witch hunt and the target that has been painted on my back by Jackie Smith. And even the health of this 67-year-old man, beloved by millions of listeners, has now suffered. And so I'm going to ask for your financial support for my enormous legal costs. I'd like you to go on to michaelsavage.com, look at the Defense Fund, and make a contribution today. I'll be right back. Savage.
Charges that I believe will be brought against these individuals are conspiracy to acquire or to use weapons of mass destruction, and includes the bombs and also the Stinger missiles. They stated that they wanted to commit jihad, and again, you know, more information about the motive I'm sure will be developed as the case progresses.
The Islamo-fascist in New York who allegedly wanted to blow up synagogues, saying we wish that there was a World Trade Center we could still blow up, is a huge story in New York, but it's been buried throughout America by the vermin in the media who don't want to tell you the danger that you're really in. And so we're going to continue to show you the danger you're really in. Listen to clip three.
The FBI says this man, James Crimity, was the alleged ringleader, son of an Afghan immigrant who brought three friends into the plot. For more than a year, the four men allegedly planned to bomb two synagogues in the Bronx section of New York. But it was an FBI informant who helped provide fake explosives, and last night, police say they moved in just as the four suspects thought they were planting real bombs.
Go on, clip four.
The bombs had been made by the FBI technicians. They were totally inert. No one was ever at risk.
Investigators say the suspects also tried to acquire two shoulder-fired missiles to try to shoot down military planes. Prosecutors say the motive, Cromarty and the others, angry at U.S. military action in Afghanistan, as well as a general hatred towards Jews. The suspects allegedly conducted surveillance and took photos of possible targets. Police searched the men's homes. All have prior arrests for drugs and other crimes, they said, and some converted to Islam in prison. The FBI says the men believe the government informant was actually a member of a Sunni terror group, but instead that informant helped record meetings where the suspects allegedly engaged in curse-laden rants against Jews that allegedly would be followed with action. The four men are expected to be...
And, of course, the ACLU will defend the alleged terrorists with every dollar they have. The ACLU has a budget, I hear, of $80 million a year to undermine America. And what's amazing to me is how many wealthy Jews give to the ACLU. If you think I'm going to mince words, you're mistaken. If you think I've been chastened by what's going on in England, you're mistaken. I may be talking quieter, but I'm going to talk very directly. Here you have, right in your face, here you have people who want to kill Jews. Now, who is going to defend them? The ACLU. Who gives a great deal of money to the ACLU? Rich Jews. When will Jewish people come to understand that they are wrong in terms of their radical liberal policies? When in the world will the contributors to the ACLU come to see the danger you are putting yourself in by supporting an organization that takes the side of the enemy? New York City, WOR. Chris, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, thank you for taking my call. I think the really big story is the reason that the ACLU and these other leftists are supporting the radical Muslims is they believe in their own twisted imagination that they're going to be able to use them to create a revolutionary atmosphere. I know Jimmy from Brooklyn has talked about this constantly. And I went and I spent many, many hours researching this stuff, and sure enough, it's true. If you read these leftist publications, they were in a big funk, blue funk, after the fall of the Berlin Wall and the collapse of the Soviet Union. They didn't know what they were going to do. And then along comes radical Islam. Now, they believe in their own imagination that they are going to use them for their own ends. What they don't understand is that they're not going to be able to neuter these people, that they've unleashed a Frankenstein monster which is going to devour them.
I understand that completely, but I've told you before, the radical leftists, the progressives, are generally psychotic. Many of them are on medication. They practice death styles, not lifestyles. They are dancing with the devil. Many of them are, in fact, demonic. Many of them practice witchcraft. Many of them want themselves to die, and they want to pull the whole society down with them. You cannot reason with insane people. Do you understand that, Chris?
Listen, it's not just here. I've been in Europe, and I've actually seen some of these things happen. I've been to leftist events where there are satanic symbols. I'm not making this stuff up. I've seen these things. You get all sorts of people come out, but this is what there's an occult aspect to this.
As Hitler was an occult worshiper, as were all of his top henchmen, we now have a rising tide of the occult in the world, as exemplified by the so-called progressive movement. They have attacked the Catholic Church for well over 10 years. They have attacked every religious institution for 10 years. They try to tear down the Mormon Church in the last year. They're going after Michael Savage tooth and claw. Anyone who stands for truth, anyone who stands for God is their enemy. Do you understand that?
It's not 20 years. It's 200 years that they've been fighting this battle. 200 years. If you look back...
Well, but it was like a dormant disease that had laid dormant in the earth. And the disease has now metastasized to a level where it threatens to sweep the world and kill us all. Now, I want to move on. I've made my point. On another level, again, I have been very hard on the Homeland Security Department because Janet Napolitano has failed us over and over and over again. There are people who are investigating my case in England asking, where did my name come from to England? How did they get it? More and more people are telling me behind the scenes they think it was sent by the Department of Homeland Security to undermine me because I brought a lawsuit. Remember when she came out with a report saying that Army veterans were possible terrorists and anti-abortion activists were potential terrorists? I brought a lawsuit. I was the only one in America who brought a lawsuit demanding to see the list and demanding to find out who created that list under Janet Napolitano. There is a suspicion, which we cannot prove, that as a result, to get even with me, she sent my name to England in order to try and tear me down from afar because she knows she couldn't get away with it here. And as again, I want to repeat, when we go to court, if Jackie Smith in England does not remove my name immediately and send me a letter of apology saying we went overboard, it was wrong, whatever, once we get into discovery and emails are followed, mails are followed, diplomatic pouches are opened, if there's any communication between a high-level American official and the British government, it could bring them down in this country and possibly put them in prison. You know, there's a limit to diplomatic immunity. There's a limit to ambassadorial immunity. There is a limit to Homeland Security immunity. There is a limit to what you can do to an American citizen in America. And that's why I say, today it's me, tomorrow it's you. Today it's a man on the right, tomorrow it's a man on the left. Today it's a man on the right, tomorrow it's a woman on the left. You don't know where this is going to end. I am Billy Budd. They want to hang me from a yard on, even though I am not only innocent, I'm actually something opposite to what they are saying. You want me to make a biblical analogy? I won't do it because you'll start to think I'm crazy altogether. The English have erected a cross. They have put it on the avenue. They've gotten out the spikes and they've gotten the barbarians and they want me on that cross. The English want to hang me from a cross for your sins. You may say I'm crazy. I really don't care what you think of me because I know what is going on. The reason this is happening because you as an American voter have been allowed yourself to become weakened by the lies of the media. You have permitted yourself to be hoodwinked by the satanic left in the country that you live. You have let them take over this nation. You have let them take over this nation, and the Satanists, called progressives, would like to see me on a cross in England. Jackie Smith has said I have said things that are totally false. She has taken them out of context. In one statement about Muslims, she is trying to get me killed, in my opinion. Now, I am soon going to have to ask for FBI protection. I've not done it. Salman Rushdie had to get FBI protection in England. Because of what Jackie Smith has done to me, I'm going to need federal protection very soon. I've not asked for it, but I'm going to. And I'm going to let you know when it happens, because I will not be twisting in the wind much longer. I am all alone. Nobody is helping me. I've had to send over $200,000 thus far into a legal fund.
Savage.
Actually began last June in this Newburgh mosque when one of the defendants, James Cromitie, told an FBI informant that he was upset that Muslims are being killed by U.S. troops in Afghanistan and Pakistan. He was willing to die a martyr's death to get revenge.
They all made the statement that they didn't, if Jews were killed in this attack, it wouldn't, that would be all right.
I see. That's very interesting. And they wanted to shoot down an Air National Guard airplane. Listen to clip 11.
Caught on tape were the discussions last month of what synagogues to target and plans to attack the Air National Guard base in Newburgh with a Stinger missile. The informant, with his reported terror network connections, was asked to supply the weapons of mass destruction. He did, but they were really duds.
Now, this is a huge story, and it's got so many attachments to it that it's hard to explain. Just the other day, when there was a big argument in America about closing Gitmo, when the inexperienced social worker president that we now have wanted to release terrorists into America, even the FBI director, Robert Mueller, who was extremely moderate, by the way, was forced to come out and give testimony saying that if they were released into American prisons, these Gitmo detainees, so to speak, they could radicalize other prisoners in prison, okay? Because he understands what's going on in our prisons today. And yet, astonishingly, Dianne Feinstein, as though she's living in another universe, a parallel universe, in clip 18 talks about putting them in federal prisons in California. Listen to this. 18.
We have maximum security prisons in California. People do not escape from them. So it's a kind of fear bait to say to people, oh, they want to bring terrorists back to the neighborhoods. That is not the truth. We want terrorists in maximum security detention.
All right, Dianne, you're way off on this. You're off on this, Dianne Feinstein. Even the FBI director knows that they're radicalizing others in prison. Take a look at New York. These were radicalized in prison. These guys weren't religious. They were petty criminals. They were just in jail. They were losers. They had no reason to live. And they went to some imam in a prison, and suddenly they wanted to kill everybody. Jews, Christians, airplanes. Now they had a reason to live. Suddenly all of their loser behavior was justified by a scapegoat, the Jew. And so Dianne Feinstein doesn't seem to understand this at all. She doesn't understand this, to say that they haven't escaped. They don't have to escape, but their ideas can escape into the heads of others, Dianne. No, you're wrong on this, Dianne Feinstein. You're as wrong can be. They belong out of America. George in Chicago, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. It's a pleasure to be on with you. I have a question, since you're a big with alternative health and what have you. One, do you think there's any negative effects of fluoride being in the water?
Well, I'm not going to deal with any health questions here. I'm only dealing with politics. Do you have a political statement or not?
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting that the FBI was infiltrated in this. They were infiltrated in the first WTC bombing. It always seems that there's an FBI bureaucrat involved with these terrorist organizations. Doesn't it seem that with you?
Well, what are you saying? What do you mean infiltrated? They weren't infiltrated. They infiltrated the terrorists. What do you mean it's interesting to you? What are they supposed to do? That's how they work. How do you think they get these guys before they blow up a building?
Michael, this is just another – this is all another – deflection. There's a lot of things going on in the world, the new world.
George, you're a very naive man. Here's the FBI doing their job, infiltrating a terrorist cell, stopping them before they blow something up, and now the FBI is wrong in your mind.
Well, I don't.
You're alleging that these four African American converts to Islam are innocent. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm sure that there's probably some something that the media is not telling us. I'm sure that's true. I'm not seeing you, Dr. Savage. You're very You keep it real, but I'm...
I think you're 100% wrong. What's there to tell you that you don't already know? You've got many such individuals in America who would like to get their hands on C4 and kill. I'm sure they'd all be invited to meet the Queen in Buckingham Palace by Jackie Smith. Iowa, Tony, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael Savage, how you doing? I just really want to encourage you. Just be encouraged, and no matter what, to stick to what the Lord Jesus Christ has given you. I feel like the God has given you a word to speak to the nation right now, that it is relevant, and that it's very important that you continue to stay on target, continue to be bold as you're felt led to be bold, and keep praying, and we'll keep praying for you too, and just be encouraged.
All right, I hear you. I like the support, but I need more than lip service, folks. I'm sorry to tell you. It's easy to call a talk show and say, we got your back, and we're lighting a candle for you. That's very nice. And then going on with your life. And I know many of you are sincere. We're way past that. We're way past that. I have had to hire a very expensive law firm in England. I don't want to go into the whole thing. Go onto my website and check out the letter I just wrote. And that's what I want to say to you. But we're way, way past that. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com, Washington, D.C. Matt, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I wanted to pick up on your point about criminals being recruited to this, connected to the Nazis. The early days of the Nazis, the brown shirts, who were the first force of Nazis, were a bunch of street hoodlums and criminals who were convinced to get along. That's going to be the recruiting base for these radical Islamists, and I think you made a very excellent point in connecting it.
That is right. That's why the FBI director, a moderate man, Robert Mueller, the other day when we were talking about bringing the prisoners from Gitmo back to American prison, said, no, they don't belong here because they will radicalize other prisoners. Everybody understands that except liberals like Dianne Feinstein, apparently.
Oh, I think it's crazy. I did read an article maybe 3 weeks ago about a vacant prison in Montana where the people in the town thought it would be great to get it occupied.
Yeah, I saw that on TV today. They need the money, apparently. But it looks to me, I don't even know why that prison was built in Montana to begin with. I have no idea why it was built if it's empty. Where they get the money from? And why was it given to them if it's an empty prison? It sounds like a bridge to nowhere. This is a prison to nowhere. But it doesn't make sense to me to put foreign prisoners in there at all. They belong in Guantanamo where they cannot swim even. They cannot even swim to America and cause mayhem. You know, none of the home countries will take them. You know that, Matt. Not even the home countries will take these people. And yet Dianne Feinstein wants them in California. Now, what sense does that make to anybody?
This is the social equivalent of a disease that threatens society. We can't, because of our civilization won't allow us to exterminate the disease. The minimum, we need to quarantine it.
Correct. There you go. Well put. I like that. Very, very good. You can't use... That's very interesting. Quarantine. That's the problem. That's the solution to this disease. Thank God we have Robert Mueller in the FBI. That's all I can say. Just thank God Obama hasn't replaced him with another college professor. God forbid he put a college teacher in there, another one, another ACLU college teacher into the head of the FBI. God help us all. God help us all if Obama put a Janet Napolitano into the FBI. God help us all. So here we are, dollar plunge. Obama living in a dream world, saying at the Naval Academy today, by upholding American values, that will shield us from terror. You hear this? You hear this naivete? That's not evil, by the way. It's naivete. Upholding values will shield us from terror. That's like saying we don't need waterboarding to get information from them. We just need to appeal to their reason, because they're reasonable men. I don't know how this can get any worse, but it will. It will get worse before it gets better. It will get much worse. Much worse. So the prisons are where they went from being ordinary criminals to becoming radical Muslims. And here we are. Now let's go to another failure of the Department of Homeland Security. The swine flu epidemic. As you well know, I am on record for saying that they should have closed the border with Mexico immediately. And I was attacked viciously by low-life congressmen, a low-life congressman from New York, and others who made stupid statements such as you can't close the barn door after the horse is out, when there were many, many others who were still infected in Mexico. Do you know what's going on now, that there are allegedly over 100,000 cases in America, and only several thousand have been recorded, but they're admitting it to CDC that there's over 100,000. Spain has now quarantined its military. Schools in Rome have been ordered closed because students caught the virus on a trip to New York. This epidemic could have been contained had quarantine been enacted by Janet Napolitano, who failed us on the flu, failed us by not having anything to do with busting the New York terror plot, focusing on American Army veterans. I don't have any power. The government itself can haul her in and say, you know, you failed us on every level. We're putting somebody else in. You targeted soldiers. You targeted people whose religion tells them abortion is evil. You know what? You're not competent for this job. You said nothing about radical Hispanic gangs in America who now, it turns out, had to be busted again by the strike force and the FBI because they were trying to kill black people in Los Angeles to wipe them out of the population. You did nothing. Again, Homeland Security did nothing. What is that department for? It seems to me Homeland Security has decided that it should turn on the people themselves, and that is the patriotic people. Anyone who stands for American values apparently is suspect to the Department of Homeland Security. It's like an autoimmune disease, that department. Salt Lake City, Dennis, welcome to the program.
First, I agree 100% with you about the terrorists. Second, I see things a little different and sort of interesting to see all this unfold. If I may... On Galatians, it says you reap what you sow. And throughout even to Jewish history, God judged and punished Israel by using other nations. A nation to me is an entity, and the people and the generations of that nation are like cells of an individual body. And there are ways of reconciling the past and moving on. I see the occultic evil movement within the liberals, but I also see within the conservative movement and their statements of embracing Christian values is not really having a good understanding of the principles of Christ and that Christ taught.
But what is it you're saying? I'm not quite sure. Are you saying the Jews are getting what they deserve, that they deserve to be punished?
No, I say because we haven't reconciled our past like we should as a nation, like we should as individuals, that we are in the self-destructive mode, and if we did things according to biblical principle, we'd be free of it. We're in a self-destructive situation as a nation.
No, let me see if I can follow what you're saying. Is that America is in trouble and Israel's in trouble because we've wandered away from God?
wandered away from God and haven't really told
you. I've thought about this long and hard, and I've had many, many discussions with my audience about this, but here's what I've come to. Let us say that we have wandered away from God and we're really basically a secular nation that just wears crosses and stars of David, but really don't believe any of it. Most people, they walk around with a cross, but what does it mean to them? Or they say they're Jewish, they put a mezuzah on the door, but they don't really believe any of it, and they don't really take God's word seriously. Let's say that's where most of America is today. Now, let's say that is walking away from God's word, you know, doing the other things that people, that we all do. Well, all right, so you missed the mark. You've committed the sin of missing the mark. Is that worse than cutting off a man's head while chanting to Allah, as they did to Daniel Pearl? Is that worse than flying planes into a building filled with civilians? Is that worse? Tell me who's wandered further away from God, the radical Muslims or the secular Christians and Jews?
Well, of course it's not worse, but what I'm saying is...
All right, so you have to take the relativity of it all. In other words, murder is a greater sin by any means, is it not?
Yeah, but that's interesting because another thing in the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. And so...
I hear that. I understand. That's terrible. As we know from the Holocaust, it rained on the just and the unjust. That we know.
Come and I say, you know, to me, I don't see a whole lot of difference. You know, and this is evil, of a radical Muslim saying, convert or die. And by the way, we want to take over your country. Then Europeans coming over to this land saying, convert or die, whether it was the Catholics, Protestant religion, and saying, convert or die. And by the way, we want to take over the land that you live on.
Do you mean to the Native American?
That's correct.
So, in other words, we're getting paid back for having brutalized the Native American.
In part, also, for the abortions of 40 million-plus babies from the 70s. Like in the Second Galatians, you reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are big statements, and certainly they could be argued about by biblically-oriented people for ages. But I think that when we talk about iniquity, we have to have a relativity with regard to iniquity. And I stick by my judgment that committing murder is worse than going to a dance hall in pointy shoes, so to speak, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, it's even more than that, because the $40 million abortions is murder. Also, I communicate... Well,
you better be careful, Dennis, because Janet Napolitano may be listening, and you could be noted as a potential terrorist since you feel so strongly about abortion.
I feel strongly about it, but I think we're handling it the wrong way. God says that he will, if we're in a relationship with him, he will write his law on our hearts. The laws don't make anybody moral, and I understand that we need laws to maintain order, but ultimately it starts with the individual and them choosing to live moral and then understanding it's the right way to live.
I think morality is up to the individual. I don't think you can tell the next man what to do. I think it's up to each of us to tend his own garden and make an example for others. I don't think you could force anybody to follow God's way either. I thank you very much for the call. 1-800-449-8255. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land swarmed with frogs in the chambers of their kings. He spoke and there came swarms of flies and gnats in all their borders. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. You want me to go on? I'll be right back.
Critics who prophesize with your pen and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times they are a-changing.
Yes, evil has broken forth in the United States of America. Evil, pure evil, unadulterated evil, is now raging through the land. Everything good is made evil. Everything straight is made crooked. Everything crooked is made straight. Everything upright is made downright. Everything that is decent is made indecent. The Boy Scouts are called evil scouts. Shall I go on and on? You have lost your country. You have lost your country. How in the world the FBI and the New York Police Department was still able to do its job with the ACLU with an $80 million budget breathing down their necks every second about racial profiling is a miracle to me. It's a miracle to me at all that the NYPD and the FBI was able to do this at all. We certainly know that the Homeland Security Department is crippled and could never have acted against radical Muslims, because their own code books probably say that would be racial profiling, because they've been infiltrated by the ACLU. How much longer do you think it will be until the FBI itself is unable to do its job? How long will it be until the NYPD becomes like the SFPD and is unable to do its job? How long do you think it'll be before the NYPD is broken like the LAPD because of the ACLU and the other radical leftists? Not too long, my friends. No, the times they are changing, because the times they have already changed. The low is now the high is now the low, the evil is now the good is now the evil. The up is now the down is now the up. The straight is now the twisted is now the straight. Yeah, the times they are changing. Chicago, Bob, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, I'm not calling in with elaborate arguments or comments. I'm just calling in to pledge $50. Asking 100,000 people send you $50, you got 5 million, let's just get it done.
That would be nice, but it's not going to happen. Whatever happens, $10 will be good from each listener, too. But it has to be done through michaelsavage.com. I don't want to turn the whole show into fundraising, but I'm alone here. I got to tell you something. I've never been more alone in my life. I got to tell you that. I found out who my friends are, who my friends aren't. And the listeners who want to help can do so by going to michaelsavage.com and doing whatever, you know, $10 or whatever. I don't care, $5. Because this is not going to end. I have to go all the way with this. Those of you who don't go on, thank you, my friend. Those who don't go on the internet can send a check to Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco, 94111. You can have someone go online for you and find the address. But it's not like I'm depressed. You got to understand, I'm not depressed. I'm just quiet right now. My normal, let us say, effervescence is slightly down. I am having nightmares about this nation and the future of this nation. I'm having nightmares about the direction of the world. I have long maintained my optimism, but I must tell you that I think that the Satanists are winning. I have long thought that good would triumph over evil, but at this point in the darkness of the dark, I'll let you decide.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Received it at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it a molten calf, and they said, This is thy God, Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And God got very, very mad. He said, I commanded you to follow my ways, but you've made a molten calf of gold, and you have worshipped it, and you have sacrificed unto it. And said, this is thy God, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, and so forth and so on. Play Beethoven, because that is probably the best thing we can do at this moment. Now, some humans have approached the godly through art, through poetry, very rarely through poetry, but I would say through art and through music. Any civilized man understands this, and that's why I just played Beethoven, because there's a point at which I really don't want to speak, and if I didn't have a talk radio show right now, I wouldn't be speaking for quite a while. There are things that I want to say that I cannot say, that I'm prohibited from saying at this moment, and I can't even hint at what I really want to say about certain things, other than in an oblique fashion. And that is, my political enemies, I understand why you want to go after me. It's because I stand for everything good, and you stand for everything evil. I understand how the game works. But by going after my family, I warn you, I will bring down upon you everything that I have, everything my listeners have, and your detestable souls shall eventually receive everything you have been wishing for all of your detestable, horrendous lives. Play Beethoven. That's all I'm going to say. Everything is upside down in America, where evil has now made itself into good, and we have an imposter as president. In Deuteronomy, it says, thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt rule over many nations, but they shall not rule over thee. But here we are under Obama, where he is not lending unto many nations, but borrowing from virtually any nation. We've become a nation with a begging cup. The Bible says to the ancient Israelites, thou shalt rule over many nations, but they shall not rule over thee. Today we are ruled by foreign nations. We're almost at the point where we know nakedly the Saudis and the Chinese rule this country. We know that. We sense it. Did it begin with Obama? No, but he is the undertaker of America. He is actually the pallbearer. Began a long time ago. George Bush put the final knife into the heart of America with his policies. We know that. Make no mistake about it. He was not a conservative. In fact, he destroyed the conservative movement. He destroyed everything decent in the Republican Party. And what he left was a shell of itself. To the point now where we have the laughingstock of John McCain's daughter speaking in an incoherent manner about a sex girl. I'm a sex child, and I stand for the Republican Party, and some have hijacked it that we should all be sex I don't even know what's going on with these people anymore. It's like the inner John McCain is now channeling through his daughter. I'm a sex girl? What did she say the other day?
It can be a party for a 24-year-old pro-sex woman. It can be. I just think that we have people that are in this party that are hijacking and trying to make it even more extreme.
It's unbelievable to me. This is the inner McCain. This is why he failed. He must have been listening to this girl. I mean, get thee to a nunnery. Get thee to a nunnery, young lady. There's still time. I mean, today I saw the Annapolis graduation, the U.S. Naval Academy. And there was Obama giving the speech, which unto itself made me shudder. I didn't laugh. I shuddered. I couldn't believe what I was watching. A radical communist Alinsky student from Chicago is standing there not even believing his own eyes. He's telling the troops, I will only send you into harm's way if there's a real war. Duh. Like they went into harm's way for fake reasons? Where were you when they needed to go in harm's way a few weeks ago with the pirates? Thank God you told the SEALs to do what to do. Thank God. Seems you sent them into harm's way. You just sent another 25,000 troops to Afghanistan. What do you mean you will only? You have already. What's he talking about? The past perfect. Everything is a deceit. Everything is a deceit in front of your eyes. The president has suffered the greatest political defeat of his entire life this week. The vote was 90-6 to not fund the closing of Guantanamo prison. 90-6, his own party turned on him. And immediately, the evil media has swept this under the rug like it didn't happen. This was a seminal moment. Mark my words, what happened to Obama this week has been a seminal moment in his political life. Whether he has awakened to what has happened is another story. He's intelligent enough to see the handwriting on the wall. This country and his party are not ready for his radical policies. Not quite yet. Maybe his handlers think that we're ready to roll over, but it has not happened and it will not happen. Diplomacy will not work with pirates. Diplomacy never worked with pirates. How many times have I told you that's why the U.S. Navy was created? It was to stop Muslim pirates, let me repeat it again, Muslim pirates off the coast of Africa, early 1800s. They were raiding ships with commercial goods. Ships couldn't defend themselves. Muslim pirates took captives. Muslim pirates boarded the ships. Muslim pirates. So the U.S. merchantmen said, wait a minute, we need an armed ship to defend us. They came up with great ship, well-armed, and they killed the pirates. Did I tell you where the word leatherneck came from? It was stolen by either Golfer or Wallbanger, one or the other, who knows. One of the men who skipped 10 years in school and went right on to spinning discs, the next thing, they're political geniuses. But I told you where the word leatherneck came from. The Marines were the armed guard on the ships. They had cutlasses in their hand and they had guns. And when they jumped onto the pirate ships to kill the pirates, not to negotiate with them, not to bring them back to New York for a trial, which will become a circus and a mockery, to cut their throats and shoot them in the face and throw them overboard for the sharks to eat. When the brave U.S. Marines went aboard the Navy ships with a cutlass in one hand and a couple of guns in the others to kill the pirates, to slash their throats and to throw them overboard, they wore thick leather bands around the back of their neck so that when they were When a cutlass blow from the pirate hit them, it would deflect it slightly. That's where the word leatherneck came from. This should be taught in every high school in America, while we still can teach the children something other than how to put a condom on a plantain. This is the Savage Nation. Raymond Kelly, police commissioner in New York, rightly so an American hero. Him and the FBI deserve immense credit for stopping the four radical Muslims in their terror plot to blow up synagogues in New York, and to shoot down a plane at the Newburgh Air National Guard base with what they thought was a Stinger missile that these petty criminals were buying. They were all converted to jihad in U.S. prisons, and yet Dianne Feinstein wants to bring the Guantanamo murderers and terrorists into California. Listen to Dianne Feinstein. Listen to this disconnected reality.
We have maximum security prisons in California. People do not escape from them. So it's a kind of fear bait to say to people, oh, they want to bring terrorists back to the neighborhoods. That is not the truth. We want terrorists,
Dianne,
in maximum
security detention.
Okay,
stick to shopping carts. Stick to shopping carts, Dianne. Dianne, stick to shopping carts in China. That you know how to do. Stick to making sure that houses can be sold at a low rate with FDIC money. That you can do. That you can do. You can steer money and do that. You can do, stay out of national security. This is astounding to me. Here's a woman who's the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, who doesn't know what she's talking about. The FBI director does know what he's talking about. Just the other day, he said by putting radical Muslims into prisons in the U.S., they may radicalize other prisoners. That is, bring them into the ways of jihad. And yet here you have Dianne Feinstein going off like a maniac, not knowing what she's talking about. And she, my friends, is the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Do you have any idea the danger we are in? Do you have any idea who's running things? Do you have any idea that we've let the country be stolen from us? I'll be right back because I do. Savage Nation. Now, I want to make something clear. Many of you are asking what's going on with the appeal to Hillary Clinton. The answer is I do not know. The wheels of justice turn very slowly, and I see this case equivalent to that of Ramos and Campion. It's true I'm not in prison, but my name has been imprisoned. My name has been stolen. My name has been besmirched by the socialist government of Britain, and I need to clear my name. Moreover, by making statements, by taking them out of context, she has painted a target on my back. And I want to say to you right now that the fund, my Michael Savage Defense Fund, is being used, as I told you, to fight in the United Kingdom to clear my name, to get my name off the list. It is being used to clear my name in the United States through various channels. And I will be using it additionally for security purposes that I must now institute in light of the situation I've been put in by Jackie Smith. That is right. For security purposes, for legal purposes, I have been put into the target zone by this evil government that is now collapsing in England. But remember, although the Speaker of the House of Commons has been forced to resign, the first such case in 300 years, Jackie Smith, who did this to me, is still in office. And even if she's thrown out of office for other reasons, she will have done her damage to me. And I have to correct this damage. Now, I have asked the Thomas More Law Firm to send a letter out to all 400 members of Congress next week. And it'll go such along the lines. I think the letter up on michaelsavage.com? It's very similar to the letter where I ask you to donate, where it says, Dear Listener. Just substitute for that, Dear Senator or Congressman. A terrible injustice has been done. And it goes on about me. I don't want to read it to you again because it'll start to sound, absurd. But listen to me. You don't have to like what I've said at all to understand what's been done to me. When you link my name up with people who have murdered, with a Hamas murderer who was released from Israeli prisons after 10 years because he killed two Jewish parents and then bashed in the head of their 4-year-old daughter with a rifle butt, and you equate that with speech that you don't like, then you're insane. Then you're worse than they are, if you can't see the difference. Remember, Michael Savage was awarded the Freedom of Speech Award by the Talkers Magazine publication in 2007. And so the letter will go out next week. And we're asking the congressmen, the senators, to write to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and the British government to immediately remove Michael Savage's name from this list of murderers and known terrorists. Now you'll say, well, look, most of them are liberal. They're not going to help you. That is exactly why they should help me. Let me explain to you my thinking, and tell me if you disagree with me. Hillary Clinton is a liberal. Hillary Clinton, though, is now the Secretary of State. That means of the whole United States. That means she represents all American people, not just Democrat American people. She has an obligation to uphold the laws of the land and to defend the American people from such charges and situations of the type I am in. Now, you may say from the point of view of realpolitik, would it help Hillary Clinton or not help her if she intervened on my behalf? Let me let you decide. My suspicion is that Hillary Clinton will one day run against Barack Obama, perhaps as soon as the next election in the primary, after he bungles things and mangles things and screws up our security and our economy even further. She is a rather centrist Democrat, may come along and be an alternative that the party rallies behind. I don't know. It may happen. It'd be hard for me to believe I'd be reaching a point in my life where I thought Hillary Clinton would have been a better choice than anybody, but I'm starting to think Hillary Clinton would have been a better choice than Barack Obama. She was nowhere near as radical as him. Well, maybe she was when she was young. We were all something else when we were young. But over the years, she has become very, very much of a different person than she was when she just began as a flaming leftist in her undergraduate years. So now she's Secretary of State. So she has an obligation, in my opinion, to intervene on my behalf. The point is this, is that when she runs for the presidency, she's going to need to get the votes of the American people, not just the Democrats. Now, how could she better appeal to the other side, the swing voters, the millions of swing voters who didn't go for McCain but went for Obama, than by saying when Michael Savage's name was unfairly put on that list with murderers, although I detested Michael Savage's statements and I don't like his politics, he was wronged. And I want to show you that I can rise above petty politics. I can rise above partisan politics. That's exactly what I'm going to say to all my congressmen and senators. Can they do it? Savage. I don't know. You know what? Let's all take a moment out to salute our men in uniform. This is the United States Marine Corps hymn. Just think about what you owe them. You wouldn't be here without them. You'd be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade. Think of all the men who died so that you could be here hating America, all you leftists. All you leftist vermin. All you progressive Satanists. Were it not for the U.S. military, who you hate so much, you wouldn't be here. You would have been a lampshade. Or be speaking German. Well, perhaps many of you would be proudly wearing the SA or SS, the SS uniform. What am I saying? No, I take that back. No, the progressives would have proudly worn the SS uniform if they could have gotten in. What am I talking about? Do you have that song that I asked for? You're still looking for it. Play the Meghan McCain piece. I can't get that out of my mind for a minute in the middle of all of the serious stuff.
It can be a party for a 24-year-old pro-sex woman. It can be. I just think that we have people that are in this party that are hijacking
where
and trying to make it even more extreme.
How could a family produce? Well, today, John and his wife were at the Naval Academy, and his youngest son, graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy. He wants to be a naval aviator like his dad. God bless him. But think of the daughter now. Meghan McCain and the pro-sex women. She ought to create a rock band called Meghan McCain and the Pro-Sex Women. Someone will rip that off. That's amazing. That's hot stuff. The Pro-Sex Women with Meghan. You have that song yet? When you find it, let me know, because I'll come back to this theme in a moment. How does this happen to a family? One becomes a patriot who wants to be a naval aviator, and the other goes on to a female chat show and talks about sounds like music in Macy's. Like it's just like music in a changing room. How could you say the Republican Party's been hijacked? Honey, do you know what the Republican Party stands for? What? Democrat light? That's your idea of hijacked? It was hijacked because what? It stands for borders, language, and culture? It doesn't stand for that. The reason it's collapsing is it stands for nothing. Okay, whatever. Who did that song that I'm asking for? Marvin Gaye, that's right. Let's get it on. This is dedicated to Meghan McCain and the pro-sex women.
Trying to hold back this feeling for so long. And if you feel like I feel, baby, then come on. Oh, come on. Let's get it on.
Meghan, honey. I think she ought to come with a band the next time she goes on one of these lady chat shows.
Let's get it on. I think if the Republican
she
Party
could do
just
this. She could lip sync this.
Could
she lip sync this and make believe she's Marvin Gaye? I'm Meghan McCain and the pro-sex women. I'd like to sing Let's Get It On.
I think if the Republican Party just says abstinence only is the only way to be, then we're going to lose a lot of young voters. And I think I would never want to practice anything I didn't preach.
Oh, honey, rein that girl in. Get thee to a nunnery.
It can be a party for a 24-year-old pro-sex woman. It can be. I just think that we have people that are in this party that are hijacking.
Well, let's stop. I don't understand this. How is this woman, pro-sex woman? Do you know anyone who's an anti-sex person? I haven't met anybody who's anti-sex. What is she implying? The Republicans are anti-sex? What is she talking about? Well, I once did a thing that the bagel doesn't bounce far from the cart, the seltzer bottle doesn't fall far. Remember that one with him? I would say that, I shouldn't say it, but I will. Shall I say the Valley of the Dolls doesn't bounce far from the pillbox? I mean, this is crazy. This is unbelievable to me. Who was that I did that thing years ago? with the movies. Who is he? The Italian voice that I put on, the fake one, whatever. They don't remember anything anymore. All right, let's go to the who? Scungili, John Scungili. Which is the one I did with the bagel doesn't bounce far from the cart? Whatever. Cindy and Modesto, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you that I think that your faith is going to be renewed by your listeners.
My faith is going to be renewed by what?
By your listeners. I donated $20 to you.
No, I understand. I mean, it's a reality here. I'm all alone. I'm twisting in the wind. I'm in the middle of the night waking up 2 in the morning and saying, how could this be happening? How could my government let this happen to an American citizen? How is this possible? I am in the media. Why is the media not on my side? I mean, there are people on my side. There are some wonderful people who have taken my side. But when you see that the mainstream radio talkers who declare themselves conservatives have pretended they don't know what's going on, it's unbelievable to me how the people don't see it. But they're not my problem. I've seen through them for a long time. The dinghy doesn't fall far from the ship. All right. Play that again by Marvin Gaye. I want to read my email for a minute and recapture my breath. I just want to catch.
I've been really trying, baby. Trying to hold back the feeling.
God, can I use a dance tonight? But I'm not going to go. It'll be me and the dog with a television set again. I have become a real homebody since this happened. I don't go too far from any one of my locations. No, I really don't. I mean, the gates get locked, guns get loaded. Yeah, joke about it. It's you, right? You know what I'm going through. You know what I'm going through. You Satanists, you know. You will one day. Not for me. It's God you have to fear, not Michael. I fear God. Why don't you fear God? How come you don't fear God? Because you're a progressive? So when you meet God, you say, I stood to destroy my nation, everything good within it? The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, said Isaiah. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the work of his hand shall be done to him. Did you hear that? For the work of his hand shall be done to him. God, keep it up. Keep up the smear campaign against Michael Savage. Keep up the McCarthy-esque tactics, and I promise you, the work of your hand shall be done to you. Los Angeles, KGIL. Tim, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Savage, and thanks for your time. Just as you mentioned earlier, you can't reason with pirates. You can't reason with wolves.
Now, wait a minute. Didn't Kevin Costner do a movie years ago that would argue to the contrary? Didn't he do Dances with Wolves? Don't the liberals believe that you could actually get in a cage with a polar bear because they're against global warming and the bear will lick their hands?
I think so.
No, I mean, liberals believe that you can dance with wolves because they have special powers. Because liberals are good, the animals sense that, and the wolf will only bite an evil conservative, never would bite a progressive. You see, the progressive believes he can go into the cage of a bear, and the bear will lick honey from his hands because they're good, and the bear senses that. Just as Obama believes he can talk to Ahmadinejad or talk to radical Muslims, he understands nothing about the reality of the world because he's been sheltered from it all of his life. Yet, a babe is our master, and he's leading us.
There's a book out on it's called On Combat, and you may have already heard about it. David Grossman, he's a lieutenant colonel in the Army, retired lieutenant colonel, and he basically divides people into three different groups. You have your sheep, which basically like to live comfortable, peaceful lives.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I love that book. Go on with that. And then he describes go on with that. That's fabulous. I'm glad you brought it up. Go and describe that. That's great.
He also goes on to describe the wolves, because the wolves always intend to be violent and to do harm. Then he describes the sheepdogs, which I put into the category of police officers and our armed services. It seems to me at this point...
he's right, and he said the sheepdog is as deadly as the wolf, but he is on the side of the sheep. He said that the sheepdog has the same capacity for violence as the wolf. That's what he said. I remember now. And that is absolutely true. The police officer is our sheepdog. The military, they are our sheepdog. And when you infiltrate the police departments and the military, not with sheepdogs, but with sheep themselves, dressed up in the clothing of a sheepdog, you have various police departments in America today who have put in not sheepdogs, but sheep themselves in order to diversify.
Absolutely. You know, and the other thing is, it seems to me that a lot of the sheep are sort of in denial and have grown to dislike the sheepdogs.
That's right. They actually fear the sheepdog more than they do the wolf.
Yeah, or they loathe them because the methods are crude.
Well, let's take a look at this case in New York. You've got the NYPD and the FBI busting up this radical Muslim terrorist plot. They wanted to blow up synagogues. They wanted to shoot down an Air National Guard plane. And now you have people saying they were set up by the FBI. They don't believe for a minute that they actually were going to do it. They're calling them scapegoats now. Now, how much further from the truth can you get than this? How much of a disconnect from reality can you get than misreading this whole case?
Well, it's nice to be in the pasture and be in denial that there are actually problems. Just live like a sheep. Be in denial until tragedy happens again, and then you'll have a short memory. You'll be back to being a sheep again. So,
what is the name of that gentleman's book? I remember I received it. I don't know where I put it.
David Grossman. He's a retired lieutenant colonel. He's written On Killing, On Combat. And he just wrote a new one. I haven't read it yet. The bullet.
Well, what's his name again, Tim?
David Grossman.
Unbelievable. Yeah, that's how I see burly cops and burly soldiers. I see them as sheepdogs. Let's leave it at that. The last thing I want to see, let's say, is a fire person who can't lift a ladder. The last thing I want to see is a fire person coming through a fire who faints during a fire and needs a hydration break. And then sues the department because she couldn't lift the ladder up. But the department had to hire that person because they needed to get a diverse workforce. You know, I keep a picture on my desk here in my studio. It's of the four cops who were killed by the subhuman in Oakland. I see Sergeant Mark Dunnigan. I see Officer John Heggie. I see Sergeant Irvin Romans. I see Sergeant Daniel Sakai. They were killed by a man, if you want to call him a man. I don't consider him a man. That person had left the human fold a long time ago and become a beast. Here's a man, one of them, Irvin Romans, had six children. Six children. Sergeant Mark Dunnigan had three children, ages 15, 13, and 8. Sergeant Daniel Sakai left a four-year-old child along with his wife, Jennifer. Families destroyed by a person who had walked away from the human condition and had become an animal. And yet we had progressives in the San Francisco Bay who are attacking me, who supported this vermin who killed these officers. And yet we had newspapers in the Bay Area who took the side of the killer, not of the officers. It's the same newspapers with the same Satanists who are attacking Michael Savage on a regular basis. I hold their memory very dearly. And I contributed money to their, I don't know what, I'm three of them, I don't know what it was, $30,000 for the kids, 10 grand each, I think. Because I keep it alive in front of my eyes. I didn't know them. I didn't know who they were. I look at their faces, though, and I say, you know, but for the grace of God, there go I. These are men, brave men. These were the sheepdogs. Now, why are they dead? They're dead because of the very politicians who were on the stage during the memorial. They're dead because of the mayor of Oakland. They're dead because of the congressmen and senators who had the nerve to get up on that stage. These are the very people who told them that they could not approach a suspect during a traffic stop with their hand on a gun because it would be insulting to the individual and make them feel that they were being criminalized in advance. So they're dead. You have any idea why they're dead? You think they're dead because this guy outdrew them? They're dead because they weren't allowed to draw their gun approaching the car. And the reason they weren't allowed to draw their gun approaching the car is because of the very verminous politicians who were on that stage. I stick by my words. They killed these men just as they'll kill all of us. Just as they will kill all of us with regard to the Islamofascists amongst us and the Islamofascists over there. The same mentality that says to our soldiers, oh, they don't mean you any harm. They just want to give G.I. Joe some candy. Oh, don't go up to them with a loaded M1 because you're liable to intimidate those innocent villagers in Afghanistan. Go up to them and talk to them about Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and get your face blown off, because that way at least we don't insult the poor Afghani jihadis. And that way we are a just nation with high values. We have a president, a babe, gets up there and says, by upholding our values, we make ourselves safer. That's utter nonsense. That's ACLU leftist gibberish. How many years have you heard this gibberish? Upholding our values, isn't one of our principal values survival? Shouldn't one of our principal values be survival first, safety first, and then worry about the esoterica? That's how it should be if you lived in a sane nation. But when you have a presidency and a Congress afraid of the Satanists called progressives, people die. I'll be right back. Savage. Has real meaning for me. Got one uncle buried. I got two uncles buried in military cemeteries. They did the good fight in World War II. What can you do? What can you do? I see little old ladies last week selling little red poppies. One of them was 101 years old. 101 years old. She said she's done this every day since her son was killed in World War II. So just, you know, if you actually listen to people, you look at them in the eye and listen to what they say, you can rip your guts out. How many years has she been doing this? 60 years, I don't even know, 1945, let's say, 55, 65. Almost 65 years her son was killed in World War II. So how does she cure the pain? So she gives out the red poppy she sells or gives away for donation. Unbelievable to me. And here in liberal Marin County, you see some of these stupid, degenerate, sex-crazed mothers dressed up like sluts in front of their children, walking by them like they're dirt because they're little old ladies who are dressed in funny dresses. It's just the world that you look in front of your eyes. The beautiful old women. So I said to one of the other women later on about her, I said, when she wasn't there, I said, how old is she? She's 101. I said, how does she live this long? I mean, what? She said, she's very self-centered and very, very mean. She said, it has to be her way. I said, okay, I'm on the right track. Mean. What does mean mean? Mean standing up for yourself? If that's mean, then we're all mean. What, do you want to be a ball of nutty putty and be bounced around by people around you? Anyway, you know what I want you to do? Go to my website over the weekend. Go to a military cemetery over the weekend. Go to any one of them around you just for the 10 minutes. Join the crowd. Salute the dead. Go to michaelsavage.com and see the stories. We update it every day over the weekend. And again, you know, if you want to help me, go ahead. Because in the end, you're going to be helping you. I'll make you this promise. I'm spending the money on legal. I'm spending the money on other things related to legal, to defending myself, getting my name off the list. In other words, I'm going to overturn this attack upon freedom of speech. Any funds that are left over after this campaign is over, should there be any left over, they don't go to me. I have not yet bought myself a cup of coffee with one nickel supplied to my defense fund. I want to make that very clear. I have not bought myself a cup of coffee with it, and I won't. I will donate the money to other related charities once I leave radio. That's what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to clear the air, balance the books. The money will be given out to 501c3 charities that are related in some manner to the issues that you care about. It's not going to aggrandize me. And since I've made that statement to you on the air, it's a legally binding statement. I made it before and I'll make it again. Don't believe what these Satanists say about me. Don't let any of these Satanists get to you. They're evil. They are the pure evil from the sewers of America. Unfortunately, they have risen to the level of our consciousness because of the evil in the media. You know what I want to do on the way out of this hour? Because soon it'll be a very long, beautiful weekend. Hot dogs, sauerkraut. I'm going to use Goulden's mustard instead of the French mustard. No English beer. I'm not having English beer. My friend sold his Jaguar because of it. He was going to buy a Rolls Royce. I'm joking. No Rolls Royce is going to pull up to the house. No English cars are going to be allowed at my barbecue.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here are some of the things we've been talking about in the Savage Nation. The Islamo-fascist terror plot, the NYPD has stopped it while Homeland Security did nothing. New York City Police Chief Raymond Kelly foiled a huge terrorist plot by Islamo-fascists against two synagogues in New York City. But where was Homeland Security? Where was the federal government? Where was Big Sis when we needed her most? Was she wringing her hands over global warming? Was she writing extremist reports about anti-abortion activists and returning war veterans as a terrorist threat? While all the while, the real threat was the same Muslim prison converts I've been warning you about for years? Isn't it interesting that these Muslim, Jew-hating fanatics were from upstate New York, the same region where Islamburg, the Islamist arm camp I have warned you about for years, is located? Don't you think it would be a good idea for the government to launch an immediate investigation into these bomb plots and this so-called Islamburg? Or would that be too much like profiling? I, Michael Savage, am sending a letter to Congress appealing to each of them, as Americans who value freedom of speech, asking them to write Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and demand I be removed from the list of those banned from Britain. How many real representatives do we have in Washington? We will soon find out. Our next guest wrote a very fabulous article about me. I read it on my show, and it's been up on michaelsavage.com. Joining us now is Professor of Law and Political Science at Savannah State University, Ellis Washington. Professor Washington, thank you very much for your great article. What made you want to speak up for me?
Michael, I've been a big fan of yours for about 6 years since I first discovered you. And when the story first broke on May 5th, when the British Home Secretary, Jackie Smith, and her slanderous and libelous remarks against you and putting you in a infamous category of those 16 mobsters and Muslim terrorists and Hamas members and everybody else, I, like most Americans, were outraged. But like I normally do, Michael, I let the fray kind of settle down and the dust settle, and I didn't write anything or say anything about it for a couple of weeks until I kind of let it marinate in my brain for a while. So that's when I wrote my piece recently about you, and this is why I related it to the movie The Silence of the Lambs, because I was like, this silence, this deafening silence by all of the big-shot conservative giants, they were just not saying anything and coming to your defense, and it just made me outraged. And so I wanted to just codify that in my own humble way in the article that I wrote.
Well, why did you call it The Silence of the Lambs?
Well, it was one of my favorite movies, and Anthony Hopkins, the person who played the psychiatrist Hannibal Lecter, I just thought that was one of his best roles, and I thought Jodie Foster did an excellent job also playing the role of an FBI trainee, Clarice Starling. And it just made me realize, particularly that scene where Hannibal Lecter said these words to Clarice. He said, "First principles, Clarice, simplicity. Read Marcus Aurelius. Of each particular thing, ask, what is it in itself? What is its nature? What does he do, this man whom ye seek?" And when I, you know, listened to those words in the movie, it reminded me so much of you, Michael, because you are always talking about literature and about philosophy and about thinking deeply about issues. And so when I heard their silence, I was like, man, this is reminds me so much of that movie, The Silence of the Lambs, where here Michael is like a lamb going to the slaughterhouse, and the people are standing on the sidelines who should be his friends, and they're absolutely silent. It's a tragedy.
Why are so many remaining silent?
Well, Michael, I think you have said, and a lot of my readers that have commented on the article, and a lot of them, about 50% of them, have said, well, Ellis, the reason why a lot of those conservative big shots are silent regarding Michael Savage is because he calls them names. And I listened to that, and I took I tried to take a dispassionate approach to that, Michael, because I know that's your style. You're passionate, and you speak your mind. And that's one of the things I and Americans love about you. But I was like, you know, these guys, they got to have thicker skin. They have to realize if he calls you a name like that, rather than taking it personally, why don't you, number one, say, does he have a point? Am I a big blowhard? Am I just, you know, just this guy that's just in this business just for my own self-aggrandizement? And if so, then you have to do like the people used to do in the Old Testament when a prophet was sent to them, to a king or to the nation of Israel, he would say harsh things. But rather than getting mad at the prophet, say, well, this guy was sent by God. Is he saying some things that are true? And if so, I need to take a big look in the mirror and make some changes, make some reformation of my own character rather than attacking the messenger like I felt a lot of others have done.
We're speaking with Professor Ellis Washington. Professor, where do you think it will go from here?
Michael, that's a very good question. I think we're in the midst of a crucible. We're in the midst of one of those very rare periods of history, like the beginning of World War One or World War Two, or the Reagan Revolution in the early 80s, where Michael Savage, you're the man on the front stage. You're the man of our time. And just like one of the prophets I alluded to you in my article, Elijah, who did Elijah fight? He fought his own people, namely King Ahab and that pagan queen that he married, Jezebel. And these people were fighting against him because he was trying to tell them what thus saith the Lord. And they hated his words, not because they were true and just and filled with veritas, but because it spoke against their evil deeds. And it's human nature, Michael, to fight against people that speak against their evil deeds. And that's what you do. Michael, you speak it true. You come without trying to curry favor from anybody, and you speak the truth, and people do not like that. And so what I think is going to happen, Michael, is that it's going to be this is the beginning of a revolution, and I think it's going to revolutionize the conservative movement. It's going to help crystallize. It's going to get rid of a lot of dead weight, a lot of people, the so-called country club Republicans and the Rhino Republicans, the Republicans in name only that have hijacked the party since Reagan has left office. You're going to get rid of a lot of those people, and we're going to have a smaller, leaner, but a purer party that people can really attach to and feel confidence in and feel like they can get behind. And it's going to be some growing pains. We probably won't win any major elections coming up soon, but I think if we remain true to the principles, Michael, that you elucidate Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 in such an eloquent manner, if we hold on to borders, language, and culture, and just hold on to those principles and elucidate those and demand those from our politicians, then I think after time we will once again become the great grand old party that Reagan envisioned.
I agree it won't be easy, but something has to be done.
I just wanted to say this, Michael, that you and I, although I have never met you personally until this conversation that we're having now, there's so many parallels to our lives. And when you speak about your upbringing in New York, it reminds me of my upbringing in Detroit and how through a series of propitious events like the riots of Detroit in 1967, where we had one of the most bloody riots, race riots, in American history. That's what I grew up in. And it shaped my life, and it shaped my whole worldview. And I was the child of a single mother who took me to the library as a little child to shield me from some of the more negative vestiges of growing up in the ghetto. And through that experiences in the library at such an early age, it helped me have a love of the written word. And I know, Michael, listening to you, you have a love of the written word, of philosophy. You've read Marcus Aurelius. You've read Gibbon's The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. These are books that any educated person must read and must be able to elucidate. And when you speak about philosophy, when you speak, when you read from the Bible, and when you do your radio show, it's like I'm hearing one of the ancient prophets of Israel, like Isaiah or Jeremiah or Amos or Hosea or Elijah. It's really a very sublime experience, and I want to thank you, Michael. I know it's been a great sacrifice to you and your family, what you do every day for 3 hours, but there are millions of us here in America and throughout the world that love you, that consider you our brother, and we are behind you 100% as you fight for free speech and freedom of expression, both here in Britain and in America and throughout the world. Thank you, Michael, and keep up the good fight, my brother.
Professor Washington, thanks for speaking out, and thank you for being on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
The arrest of the Islamofascists in New York by the NYPD shows us once again how lax the federal government has become. They failed us once again. Where was Homeland Security? They recently put out a mission statement saying that global warming was the major threat to America. Instead, they were focused on returning Army veterans, the people opposed to abortion, and maybe even talk show hosts as potential terrorists, rather than focusing on the radical Muslim extremists being radicalized in federal prisons across America. Once again, we see that the Homeland Security Department has failed us. This is a great victory for the New York Police Department. They saved hundreds of lives from these Islamofascists who had a bloodlust to kill Jews. But again, the biggest story here is not the success of the NYPD, but the failure of Homeland Security. There is egg all over her face. She has failed America once again because of her political orientation and her focus on the wrong enemies of America. In fact, they have turned on America itself by focusing on returning Army veterans, people opposed to abortion, maybe even talk show hosts, and other conservatives who are actually the patriots. We appeal to Congress immediately to revamp the Department of Homeland Security. Place a returning Special Forces veteran who understands the nature of the enemy in as the chief. Here is a letter. I'm going to read you a letter now that will go out to all 400 members of Congress. From the Thomas More Law Center on behalf of Michael Savage. Dear Senator or Congressman, a terrible injustice has been done. Michael Savage, with America's third largest radio talk show, has been banned from Britain by the Home Secretary, Jackie Smith. She has linked America's most beloved radio talk show host, who has 10 million listeners, and listed his name alongside Russian skinheads in prison for murdering 10 immigrants and a Hamas murderer who executed two Jewish parents and then bashed in the head of their four-year-old daughter with a rifle butt. What kind of nation has Britain become? Isn't free speech a value that all Western nations must preserve at all costs? Yet it is precisely because of Michael Savage's freedom of speech that he has been targeted by the socialist government of England. Now remember, Michael Savage was awarded the Freedom of Speech Award by Talkers Magazine in 2007. We are appealing to your good offices to act with the U.S. State Department and the good offices of Secretary Hillary Clinton to have the British government immediately remove Michael Savage's name from this list of murderers and terrorists. Contrary to the accusations of the Home Secretary of England, none of Michael's words have ever led to violence. He has repeatedly called for the lawful enforcement of America's borders, language, and culture in America. He has never advocated violence, or he would not have lasted in radio for 15 minutes, let alone 15 years. Please act swiftly to correct this grave injustice. Americans cannot stand by as foreign governments attack our basic rights. Regardless of your political orientation, we all know that freedom of speech must be protected to ensure the future of our democracy. Michael Savage's freedom has been denied. His very life may be in danger because of this McCarthy-like witch hunt. The health of the 67-year-old man, beloved by millions of listeners, has now suffered. Please act now to write Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and the British government to immediately remove Michael Savage's name from this list of murderers and known terrorists. Now, I want to move on. I've made my point. On another level, again, I've been very hard on the Homeland Security Department because Janet Napolitano has failed us over and over and over again. There are people who are investigating my case in England asking, where did my name come from to England? How did they get it? More and more people are telling me behind the scenes they think it was sent by the Department of Homeland Security to undermine me because I brought a lawsuit. Remember when she came out with a report saying that Army veterans were possible terrorists and anti-abortion activists were potential terrorists? I brought a lawsuit. I was the only one in America who brought a lawsuit demanding to see the list and demanding to find out who created that list under Janet Napolitano. There is a suspicion, which we cannot prove, that as a result, to get even with me, she sent my name to England in order to try and tear me down from afar because she knows she couldn't get away with it here. And as again, I want to repeat, when we go to court, if Jackie Smith in England does not remove my name immediately and send me a letter of apology saying we went overboard, it was wrong, whatever, once we get into discovery and emails are followed, mails are followed, diplomatic pouches are opened, if there's any communication between a high-level American official and the British government, it could bring them down in this country and possibly put them in prison. You know, there's a limit to diplomatic immunity. There's a limit to ambassadorial immunity. There is a limit to Homeland Security immunity. There is a limit to what you can do to an American citizen in America. And that's why I say, today it's me, tomorrow it's you. Today it's a man on the right, tomorrow it's a man on the left. Today it's a man on the right, tomorrow it's a woman on the left. You don't know where this is going to end. I am Billy Budd. They want to hang me from a yard on, even though I am not only innocent, I'm actually something opposite to what they are saying. You want me to make a biblical analogy? I won't do it because you'll start to think I'm crazy altogether. The English have erected a cross. They have put it on the avenue. They've gotten out the spikes and they've gotten the barbarians and they want me on that cross. The English want to hang me from a cross for your sins. You may say I'm crazy. I really don't care what you think of me because I know what is going on. The reason this is happening because you as an American voter have been allowed yourself to become weakened.
Savage.
Although the Hitler of Iran, Ahmadinejad, is on record saying he would wipe Israel off the map, and they continue to work on building nuclear weapons, our president, Chairman Obama, has said he is interested in open negotiations with Iran. Joining us to talk about this is Kenneth Timmerman from the Foundation for Democracy in Iran.
Michael, this idea that President Obama has of holding negotiations with Iran without preconditions, it's not just a bad idea. It's a truly horrible idea. That's why I call it Obama in Wonderland. It's so bad you have to question not merely the wisdom of those who are proposing it to the president, but their basic intelligence, their knowledge of recent events, and their honesty. The regime in Tehran is laughing at us. Look, they've mocked our president. They've taken our citizens hostage. They release them, and then we feel so grateful that we send a senior government official to express our thanks. This was Vali Nasser, who's a State Department official who went to Tehran, according to the Iranian regime press, about a week ago, to thank them for having released Roxana Sabiri. So here is our voice, which was once so powerful, evoking human rights abuses, turning into muted tones of concern and praise of this regime in Tehran. Frankly, a single laugh from the Ayatollahs is louder. Now, I'm sure lots of our listeners, Michael, watched that press conference between Obama and visiting Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu on Monday, and people were looking at the body language. I was looking at the body language as well. I was also listening very carefully to what was said, and there's one thing that wasn't said. Netanyahu never used the term two-state solution. I think that was significant. And the other thing that was said was that Obama said he would give the Iranians a year or so to prove their sincerity in negotiations. Now, I want to quote you something that Obama himself said at this press conference. He said, understand that part of the reason that it's so important for us to take a diplomatic approach toward Iran is that the approach we've been taking, which is no diplomacy, obviously has not worked. Nobody disagrees with that. And then he goes on to give a couple of examples of how the Bush administration consistently refused to talk to the Iranian regime. Now, as I say in this Washington Times article, assume for a second that the people who are briefing Obama haven't read the files that were left them by the George W. Bush administration, because those files are classified. But you don't need to be a genius, and you don't need to have access to classified information to understand what this is all about. You can do a Google search. You can read people like Steve Rosen at the Middle East Monitor, who's been tracking this as well, and you'll see that there were no fewer than 28 high-level meetings face-to-face between U.S. senior diplomats and senior Iranian government officials during the Bush administration. 28, Michael. This is not a joke. This is not insignificant. The last of these meetings took place just this past July in Geneva. And the individual who conducted that set of negotiations with the Iranians was the Undersecretary of State, William Burns. Well, guess what? Burns was held over by the Obama administration because he's a career diplomat, and he is the man who's going to become the point person for the next series of negotiations with the Iranians.
Yeah, but we get the feeling from Obama's administration that there were no meetings between the Bush administration and Iran. That's false, isn't it?
This notion that there were no negotiations and no diplomacy between the Bush administration and the Islamic Republic of Iran is really the founding myth of Obama's foreign policy. But it is a myth. It's simply not true. The talks at a very high level between the Bush people and the administration in Tehran began just months after Bush took office, in November 2001. That first meeting was regarding al-Qaeda members who were being given refuge by the Iranian regime after we began going into Afghanistan following 9/11. And the Iranians said, oh yeah, we'll help, we'll help. And they turned over a few very low-level al-Qaeda people while they continued to give refuge to some of the top leaders of the organization, including Ayman Zawahiri, the number two, and Saad bin Laden, the son of Osama bin Laden. I've talked in many places about different myths that are driving this policy of Obama towards Iran. There's another key myth that he's used, and it's used by the pro-Iran lobby, is that the Iranian regime offered a grand bargain to the Bush administration in 2003, which neocons in the White House and elsewhere turned down. This myth is being put forward by a former National Security Council analyst, Flint Leverett, who claims that he was personally in charge of the project. But what's so odd about this, Michael, is that Leverett's claims about the authenticity of the Iranian offer were debunked by someone who no one can accuse of being a neocon, and that's the former Deputy Secretary of State, Richard Armitage. Armitage told PBS Frontline in July 2007 that he looked at this so-called offer when it came across the transom in 2003. It was brought to the United States by the Swiss ambassador in Tehran, who represents U.S. interests there. And he said, this doesn't really coincide with what we're seeing from our high-level contacts with the Iranians in those various meetings, those various face-to-face meetings. And he asked the diplomats, the professional diplomats at the Near East South Asia Bureau at the State Department, what they thought of it. And they said, you're right, Mr. Secretary, this does not jive with what we are getting from from our direct contacts with the Iranians. Now, I don't think you can accuse those professional diplomats in the Near East and South Asia Bureau of the State Department of being neocons either. In fact, they did their very best to sabotage the Bush administration in many different ways. So you have this myth of an offer in May 2003 that the Bush administration turned down because they were neocons and they were engaged in this rush to war. It has been debunked by the professional diplomats of the State Department itself. It just isn't true.
Hey, they would have us believe that the entire world knew that we had no contact with the Iranians.
Even our allies in Europe know that this myth of no contacts, no diplomacy with Iran by the Bush administration is not true. The Europeans were directly negotiating with the Iranians between 2003 and 2005. And they were trying to get them to freeze their uranium enrichment and then agree to the additional protocol, which means surprise inspections by the International Atomic Energy Agency. The Iranians did agree to freeze uranium enrichment, which at that point was not very well advanced, but they never accepted the international additional protocol. We find out later in August of 2005, Iran's top nuclear negotiator was then being criticized by Ahmadinejad for even talking to the Europeans, and he came out on Iranian TV and said, "Hey, wait a second. You know, you shouldn't really criticize us for having talked to the Europeans, because you know what? In those negotiations, which went nowhere, we gained 2 years in which we were able to complete key facilities at Natanz and at Esfahan that we wouldn't have been able to complete any other way." So you've got an Iranian government official telling you on the record that Iran's goal in those negotiations was to buy time so they could complete their nuclear weapons facilities. This is extraordinary. It's direct evidence. And again, it goes directly counter to what Obama and his people have been saying. I met with one of those European negotiators, a top advisor to Nicolas Sarkozy, the French president, just about 6 weeks before this our elections last November. And I asked her point blank, this was at a forum at the Brookings Institution, what she thought, what would be her advice to the incoming administration, whoever it might be, should they negotiate with Iran? And here's what she said, Michael. She says, "We've been negotiating with the Iranians since 2005, since 2003, 5 years, and we came to the conclusion that they're not interested at all in negotiating, but in buying time for their military nuclear program." And then she said, "If they want to go ahead and negotiate anyway, good luck." Now, I would say the same thing to the Obama administration. You want to negotiate with the Iranians, good luck. The problem is that this is not a game. And the Iranians are buying time this time not to complete a facility. This time they're buying time to complete an arsenal of nuclear weapons. And by the time Obama turns around in a year or so, as he said, and concludes that he's not getting anywhere with negotiations, the Iranians will become a nuclear weapons power, not with one or two weapons, but with a small arsenal of weapons. And then they will be able to blackmail all of their neighbors or, God forbid, launch that attack that they claim that they're going to do against the state of Israel.
Well, thanks for clearing that up, Ken. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
We've talked about how people were criticizing the Pope's recent visit to Israel and how some were disappointed that the Pope didn't apologize for things that he did not have any control over and for things that just were not true. Selwyn Duke joins us today with his thoughts on this.
Hi, Michael. Great to be on the show again. Michael, I know you've discussed Pope Benedict XVI's recent trip to Israel and the reaction to the tribute he paid to the Jewish victims of Nazi genocide. And as many in the audience know, his words were not well received by all. Some Israeli critics actually expected an apology from Benedict. Now, among these critics was the Speaker of the Israeli Legislature, the Knesset, a man who's giving our country some competition for the Stupidest Legislative Speaker Award. His name is Reuven Rivlin, and he actually said, quote, "I was hoping to hear an apology and a request for forgiveness from those who caused our tragedy, and among them the Germans and the Church. But to my sadness, I did not hear any such thing," unquote. Rivlin also called Benedict, quote, "a German who joined the Hitler Youth and Hitler's army," unquote. Now, there's a 5-megaton irony here. These Israeli critics, who understandably despise Nazis above all else, are party to a technique espoused by one of history's most notorious Nazis, and that Nazi was Adolf Hitler's propaganda minister, Joseph Goebbels. And the technique? Well, Goebbels once said, if you tell a big lie enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. Well, Speaker Rivlin is in the grip of at least a couple of big lies, and they're ones that, sadly, are widely embraced. First, we have this silly notion that Pope Benedict XVI joined the Hitler Youth and German Army. Well, guess what? We're not talking about the Boy Scouts here. Membership in the Hitler Youth was made compulsory, and Benedict was absorbed into the organization in 1941 when he was 14. And remember that despite this, Benedict did not attend Hitler Youth meetings. Now, I realize, though, that those who condemn the Pope for being born in the wrong place and at the wrong time are a cut above. I'm sure that at the tender age of 14, these real-life bravehearts would have commandeered a tank and attacked the Berghof, Hitler's mountain retreat. But, hey, what can I say? Young Benedict was just a mere mortal like the rest of us. Benedict was later drafted to the German army, but mirroring his unwillingness to participate in Hitler Youth activities, he later deserted. And these principled actions involved sacrifice. As Bill Donahue of the Catholic League said, quote, Benedict's failure to attend Hitler Youth meetings brought economic hardship to his family. It meant no discounts for school tuition. And what about his desertion from the army? He could have been shot for that. Now we come to Rivlin's desire for an apology from the Pope. And this brings us to the mother of all lies. Rivlin clearly implicated the Church in the Holocaust, describing the Church as having, quote, caused our tragedy, unquote.
Well, that whopper is a Goebbels on steroids, because that idea is the precise opposite of the truth.
You can say that again, Michael. But, unfortunately, the idea that the Church collaborated with the Nazis during World War II is common today. In fact, the Pope at the time, Pius XII, sometimes called Hitler's Pope by shameless character assassins, just may be the most unfairly maligned man in history. But truth be known, he's a hero. He was a bold and wise leader who saved lives and engaged in a cold war against the Nazi regime. Now, interestingly, one of the greatest defenders of Pius XII is, guess who? A rabbi, Rabbi David Dahlin, who wrote a book titled The Myth of Hitler's Pope, How Pope Pius XII Rescued Jews from the Nazis. Dahlin, a professor of history, mind you, actually states that Pius should be recognized as a righteous Gentile. Why? Well, let's look at the facts. My family never believed the Church was complicit in persecuting Jews. Now, there are many reasons for this, but a good one is that I actually have a Jewish relative who was provided safe haven in Europe during World War II by none other than Catholic priests. Now, was my relative an anomaly? Well, let's examine what Thomas E. Woods Jr. reveals in his review of Dahlin's book. He writes, quote, Israeli diplomat Pinchas Lapid, cited to this day by those who defend the Pope, wrote in his Three Popes and the Jews, 1967, that Pius was instrumental in saving at least 700,000, but probably as many as 860,000 Jews from certain death at Nazi hands, unquote. In fact, such a friend of the Jews was Pius XII that, before he was Pope, the Nazis actually lobbied against his election to the papacy and called him, quote, a Jew-loving cardinal. Dahlin also tells us that, quote, of the 44 speeches Pacelli, that was the Pope's name before he became Pope, gave in Germany as papal nuncio between 1917 and 1929, 40 denounced some aspect of the emerging Nazi ideology, unquote. And then Woods writes in his review, quote, his, Pius's, inaugural encyclical Summi Pontificatus, 1939, made clear the incompatibility of National Socialism with the Catholic faith. The New York Times headline read, Pope condemns dictators, treaty violators, racism, unquote.
Wow, could you imagine the old York Times revealing such facts today?
No, I can't, Michael, but we shouldn't be shocked. In fact, Speaker Rivlin and other pious critics should know that World War II-era Jews would be shocked, and often appalled, by the way, at their attitude, because Pius's heroism was common knowledge at the time. Prominent Jews, such as the aforementioned Lapid, Golda Meir, Chief Rabbi of Israel, Rabbi Isaac Herzog, Albert Einstein, Moshe Sharat, and many, many others all praised Pius for his work on behalf of their people. A man who witnesses atrocities and then rises to the occasion. What he does is he ingratiates himself to Nazi officials, often seeming somewhat obsequious, mind you, and then uses his clout with them to rescue the damned from the gas chambers. And now we get to the problem with telling only half a story. Listen, if we had portrayed Schindler's seeming coziness with Nazi monsters and neglected to place it in context, and especially if we had the gall to not mention the fact that his actions were directed towards saving lives, he wouldn't have seemed like such a hero, would he? No. And this is precisely what has happened with Pope Pius XII and the Church. But look, if Schindler is cast the hero for using diplomacy to save 1,000, shouldn't Pius be heroicized 700-fold for using the same techniques on a macro scale and saving 700 times as many? Shouldn't he? So, what can we say about these critics of the Church and Pius? Well, it's easy to be the tough guy 65 years after the dragon's been slain, isn't it? We also tend to expect our heroes to spit in the eye of the villains. But you know what? When most people are put to the test, they actually become pretty cowardly. Sure, a few do hiss at the vipers, and they seldom last long. But then there are the wise resistors. They understand something, that sometimes your visible revulsion for an oppressor must be suppressed, that sometimes you have to dance with the devil to do him in. Pius XII knew, just as Schindler knew, that overt opposition to the Nazis was a recipe for disaster. It would have provided Hitler an ideal pretext for shuttering parishes, arresting all their officers, and thus ending their life-saving actions. Of course, though, the flip side is that no one today could accuse Pius XII of being a Nazi collaborator.
No, they would just call him an artless fool. But Selwyn, how was this Goebbels worthy lie about the Church born?
Well, Michael, many analysts trace it back to 1963 and, not surprisingly, a left-wing German writer named Rolf Hockhuth. What happened was that he created a fictional play titled The Deputy, which, as Woods wrote, quote, portrayed Pius XII as callous and indifferent in the face of Jewish suffering under the Nazis. And then this was picked up by liberal Catholics and secular forces bent on undermining the Church, and the rest, you might say, well, is revisionist history. So what this means is the critics of the Church have no business complaining about the Nazis because they use Nazi tactics themselves as they repeat the big lie and ensure that the spirit of Joseph Goebbels lives on. Michael, thank you for having me on the show, and God bless you and your audience.
Thank you, so, and keep up the good work.
Savage.